Marisol Solette at the Urlacher, and I'm the president of the EMDR International Association.
Can you tell me a little bit about the association?
Sure. So, EMDRIA is a member organization, and so we essentially support EMDR clinicians through training, through resources, and we also provide certifications. So allowing them to get more training throughout the course of their practice. And then EMDRIA also provides support for trainers. So people who are trainers who are providing trainings for therapists to become EMDR therapists.
What inspired you to get into the mental health field?
Oh, that's a great question. It was essentially a very non-straight, a very windy journey. So when I started my bachelor's, I had intended to just work with youth who needed support. I really wanted to work in nonprofit settings to be able to support youth who maybe were at risk for different things, or maybe lived in lower socioeconomic situations. And so that was my intent. And then when I was in my bachelor's program, my advisor had recommended that I consider becoming a therapist. And that was really the start of my journey. I always joke that I'm the oldest child in a Latinx family. And so I like to tell people what to do and how to live their lives. So I kind of slipped into the right profession.
Yeah, what was your own mental health journey like?
That's a great question. I think for me, my mental health journey has been ongoing. I am a firm believer that every therapist should be in therapy. So I am a consumer of therapy. I've been in therapy pretty consistently for the past 30 years. Primarily because, I think I knew early on, just based on my childhood, I had a childhood that was, I had a lot of trauma in my childhood, and primarily just due to the circumstances of my family and having adults in my life that didn't know how to deal with their own trauma. And so I knew that I needed to figure things out pretty early in my teenage years, and so got into therapy pretty quickly. It wasn't an easy entry into therapy because it was a hard choice to make, because my family system was one where we didn't really talk about things like therapy or mental health or anything related to mental well-being was not discussed. So, I've been on that journey for a long time, and I don't think I'll be off of it.
Yeah, how important is it to face your trauma head on?
Oh, I think it's actually the most fundamental thing in life is to be able to really address trauma in a way that is useful and can help resolve the symptoms and issues that we have in present day life. I think most of the people that I see in my practice are typically dealing with unresolved trauma, but it shows up in different ways in our day-to-day life. Either they're having challenges at work, they're having challenges in relationships, and they really are trying to figure out how to overcome that. And when we're able to resolve our trauma and really face it head on, we have an opportunity to live a more fulfilled and happy life. And I think it's not an easy task. It's really difficult to be able to make that choice to be able to face trauma head on, but it's one that can provide us with a lot of freedom and really allow us to find ourselves and be the full people that we want to be.
Have you seen your clients' confidence level rise as they work with you?
Yeah, I absolutely. I think that more often than not, I'll say that the confidence that they start to have, I think the confidence that they start to have is the confidence to actually face the difficult emotions that they have related to their own trauma. I think a lot, part of what can happen when someone experiences developmental trauma or any kind of trauma is that we start to become avoidant of the feelings associated with the trauma. So the feelings become more difficult to deal with than the actual event. And so I absolutely, in the course of treatment, I see my clients becoming more confident in facing those feelings and emotions and being able to face what's happening inside of them and not shy away from it. And then ultimately, I think more confident in relationships and feeling who they are and understanding themselves more.
How does it feel for you to be helping others?
That's a really great question as well. I think I feel really honored to be able to walk alongside people on their journeys. I just actually did a podcast interview last Friday, and I was saying that one of the things that I was feeling the most gratitude for in terms of being a therapist was the abundance of trust that I have in my life, because it takes so much for someone to trust another individual with their challenges, to be able to walk into the door and meet a stranger and trust that they can be with you, walk alongside you, and help you with some of the most difficult experiences of your life. Is it takes an incredible amount of trust. And so the fact that I've been in this profession for 20 years and that I've had so many people give me that trust feels, I feel really honored by that.
What are some of the methods you have on for helping people?
Well, EMDR therapy is one of them. That's probably the main tool. I believe strongly that the relationship is fundamental in therapy. And so I believe in person-centered therapy. So I believe that the client and how they feel and the relationship that they have with me is really core to their healing. But in terms of healing trauma, EMDR therapy is really my tool, the main tool in my toolbox, along with other things. But I believe that also, you know, our past experiences, our primary relationships, and our attachment are really core to how we're able to heal and how we understand ourselves.
Have you seen just talking about mental health, the stigma lessening a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that as when I started in this profession, the stigma or the way that people understood or felt about going to therapy was very different. You know, especially I work specifically with Latinx individuals. And so in that community, there is a lot of stigma around mental health. And so I would have clients come into my office and I could see how uncomfortable they were. And I would always say, just because you're here, it doesn't mean you're crazy. Because they really believed that, you know, the stigma was, if you go to a therapist, then you must be crazy. Yeah. And so that was always one of the first things that I would say to diffuse some of that, the shame that came with coming to my office. And so, I think that now I actually was just, you know, we're in the Olympics, fully into the Olympics, and I'm fully watching the Olympics every day. And I think about Simone Biles and Noah Lyles and how they talk very openly about their mental health struggles and talk about how it's such a priority for them and how it helps them. And so I think that I think the access to social media and people's willingness to talk about their experiences have really played a part in destigmatizing the challenges with mental health.
What do you do to help your own mental health?
I do a lot in every area of my life. So I move my body every single day because that's really important to me and really helps my well-being. Like I said, I go to therapy. So I have my therapist. And I really prioritize the things that are good for me. So I make sure that I'm really keyed into how I'm feeling. I think that can be the simplest thing to do in order to care for your mental health is just to check in with yourself every day and then make decisions about what you do based on how you're feeling. And to really think about what are the things, you know, when I'm feeling like yesterday, I didn't sleep very well the night before. And so I was feeling really like I was dragging and not feeling very motivated. And so I think about the things, you know, what are the things that actually help me when I'm feeling unmotivated? And how do I start to do those things? And then when I'm feeling really bad, when things feel really overwhelming or life feels too stressful, I really think about what are the things that help me day to day. And then I make sure that I do them even if I don't want to do them. And I think that's always key. We don't always want to do the things that are good for us, but we have to do them anyway.
What advice would you give someone going through a tough time?
I think reaching out is always the best thing. You know, a lot of times when we feel the worst, that's the time we tend to isolate, and that's probably the worst thing for us. So when you're going through something or you feel like this is the hardest time of my life and you notice that you're isolating more and more, reach out to whomever that is. And if you don't have someone to reach out to, there's so many resources online. There's so many hotlines that you can access and know that you're not alone. Because I think that that's the trick that the brain does, or that's the tricky part of feeling really bad, is that we can believe that we're really alone. And when we're able to reach out and find some support and really help people know that we're not doing well and we can get some of the support that we need, I think that's really key.
Where do you want to see your mental health mission in the next, say, 3 to 5 years?
Well, funny enough, I'm actually retiring from clinical work. So in the next 3 to 5 years, I'll be on a totally different path. But I think that, you know, in regards to EMDR therapy, I think that we're on a real trajectory to change the landscape of trauma work. I think that we have the capacity to be able to, we really want to promote healing and hope on an international scope. And so I think we're really trying to figure out what that looks like and to be more strategic about how EMDR therapy is used and how we make it more accessible. So I really see EMDR therapy starting to proliferate more, that there'll be more and more trained EMDR therapists, and that there'll be more access to it on a global level.
How can people reach out and learn more?
So you can go to the website. If you go to emdria.org, so EMDRIA.org, and we have tons of resources. We do a lot of research. That's true. But we have tons of resources, lots of videos, just to really help people understand what EMDR therapy is. So if it's for consumers, people who maybe aren't as familiar with EMDR therapy, it's a great place to go. And then for therapists, you know, there are so many therapists who want to understand more about how to treat trauma. It's also a great place to find resources and to really understand if it could be the type of therapy that would be useful in their practice.